Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is June 22nd, 2015. My name's Em. You can find me all over the internet as Knitfast Die Cozy, particularly Ravelry and Instagram, but I also dally with Pinterest and Twitter. You can find show notes for the podcast at emmaknits.net, where I also keep my blog and my knitting patterns. And then there's a Facebook page at facebook.com/emmaknits. You can come join the Ravelry group, which would be awesome. You can find it just by searching Knitting Pretty Podcast in the groups tab. And you totally should, because everyone there is cool. I know this. So, hi, welcome. Thank you for listening, both to new and returning listeners. I really appreciate that you are taking your time to hang out with me. And I hope that I can bring you a decent show. I do want to apologize. I have a cold. You can probably tell. It's why I couldn't record. Like, I thought about recording on Thursday, and I was like, nobody wants to hear this much mucus. It's just gross. And so I am getting over it now, but still, Anyway, shorter episode today. I will get over it, and then I will sound fresh as a daisy and no longer quite so congested, and that will be great. But yeah, thanks for waiting for the episode. Sorry, I keep recording late, and I do have a reason every time, but, you know, I'm starting to think that my habitual lack of punctuality has extended from my real life into also podcast recording. And I should really fix that. I've never been very good at being on time. Anyway, hi. Shall we get into the podcast? So, in my past, I have finished a thing, which is very exciting for me. I was working on a sample knit for Caterpillar Green Yarns, and I was making a brioche cowl out of a yet-to-be-named colorway that half of the skein is a really beautiful turquoise gradient, and the other half is dark and light gray stripes with a single turquoise stripe in it as well. And so when you divide the skein, you get these two different colored but matching skeins. Very cool thing. And so I finished that pretty quickly after recording last time, I think, actually. And yeah, it was a really, really fun knit. Very cool. And I was just kind of working from an improvised pattern. I mean, it's very simple. So I am going to release the pattern for free. If you know how to knit brioche, you really don't need the pattern. But for those of us who aren't terribly experienced with the technique, I think it'll be a good start, just something to get your feet wet with brioche knitting, two-color brioche, and set you on the path to do more in the future, which is definitely where I feel like I am now. It was a really neat stitch to be working with. It makes a really fantastic fabric. You would think brioche, just from looking at it, would be kind of dense or oddly stiff, and instead it is like soft and stretchy and floppy and amazing, and it makes the yarn you're using even softer than it already is. And with Caterpillar Green MCN fingering, it's already pretty soft. So anyway, that's finished, and the pattern, which I'm just calling Brioche for Beginners, it will come out later this week, and it'll be free on Ravelry. You will also, if you happen to live somewhere where Caterpillar Green is selling things, I will make sure she has a copy of it so that she can direct you to it, just in case you happen to see the sample with her and like it. So yay that. I'll put some pictures up on Instagram soon. My sister was kind enough to model the thing for me, so I didn't have to do bathroom selfies, because nobody really likes a bathroom selfie. I think people who are taking bathroom selfies, even as they're doing it, they know that nobody likes it, and they know that they don't even like it. I know when I take bathroom selfies, even as I'm doing it, I feel ashamed. So, anyway, none of that. Actual nice pictures taken with a real camera on a real person. And I'll be putting those out, and you can see them, and you can see the pretty cowl. It's so gorgeous, and I'm really, really happy with how it turned out, and the pattern, as far as I can tell, is a good beginner introduction, so yay. On to my present. After I finished the brioche cowl, I started working pretty monogamously on my Evenstar shawl. I was at the border I had done everything else and I just had to knit the border, but the border's knitted on. And so I can't remember how many rows the chart is, but every two rows binds off one stitch of the whole shawl. And the whole shawl is like almost 600 stitches around because it's circular. So as you can imagine, it's taking some time. I was able to memorize the chart really quickly, and I've gotten about a third of the way around, which is actually pretty good progress, I would say. The only thing is, it does call for beads. It calls for 3,000 beads, and they are to be placed with a crochet hook, which is a slower method than pre-stringing them. And that's all very well, but I just could not make myself put beads on the thing. It's just too much work. Honestly, you know, I love the shawl. I think it looks beautiful and I'm so excited to have it, and I'm sure I will even find an occasion to wear it. I don't know what, but I will try. But for something that I really have no particular occasion to wear, that I'm mostly just knitting for the challenge of it, the thought of spending money on beads and then going through the frankly grueling process of putting every single one in place, I just couldn't make myself. Thought about it, couldn't make myself. So I'm not. And so there, it's my knitting, you can't make me. I did think that it would be really pretty. I have some purple glass beads, like dichroic purple glass. It's got an iridescent shimmer to it, and they're gorgeous, and I would have to go get more, obviously. But then, yeah, it was just placing every single one of all 3,000 of them seemed a little daunting. So I think it'll look great without them, and I'm really happy with it, how it's going. I'm able to bust out maybe 3 or 4, sometimes 5 repeats in an evening while watching TV. I've taken up watching Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex again for the manyth time. It's an anime show that came out quite some time ago, early 2000s, I think. And I remember I caught it on like late night kids TV, you know, when they're showing all the adult things. It was whatever YTV was showing at night at that time. And I just happened to catch the first episode and thought it was good, and so I kept watching. And the thing about Ghost in the Shell is it's a great, great series, and it's really enjoyable. If you like anime, you'll like it. If you don't like anime, you'll probably still like it, provided you like, it's like an action cop show, but future with cyborgs. What's not to like, right? But if you've seen it, you'll know that the second last episode has a very disconcerting event that happens, and then the last episode resolves things, and when I originally watched the show, they never showed the last episode. They just, you know, next Thursday, they played the first one again, and I was like, what? It just ended like that? Like, that's terrible. So, yeah, I don't know why I'm talking about that. Totally irrelevant. Anyway, I had bought the thing, the series, in like 2004, and I've probably watched the whole thing like 10 times. It's my favorite, but it does mean I don't really have to look at it. So I've been busting out as much knitting as possible while not really paying that much attention to my TV, which is great. I really want to be finished. It's going to be so pretty, and I can't wait to block it and just watch all that lace stretch out. Cause you know how lace is before you block it, and it just kind of looks like bleh. Like, and the whole shawl, like most of the middle of it's kind of a mossy green. It just looks like a big pile of moss. Moss with some purple stuff on the sides. And I want to see it grow into a beautiful mossy butterfly. We'll get there. I did cast on another thing though, because the Evenstar wasn't exactly something that is great on the go now. It's kind of big and unwieldy. I cast on Match and Move by Martina Baim, and it is a very cool shawl. It's her usual sort of fairly, her style seems to be taking a simple technique, generally like a bias knit shawl, and doing something cool with it. And so this one is a shawl that's knit in a sort of V shape. You start with the point and it extends out into a bigger and bigger V, but you're doing these really wide stripes. And at the point I'm at, it's only a one row pattern. You just do the same thing back and forth, change colors as you need to. And then through some sort of fancy footwork, you fill out the last stripe and change the way the stitch pattern is working. So you get your V fills into a triangle shape. And yeah, it's a cool pattern, easy to read, easy to work with. All of her patterns are. And I'm using Rain City Knits Organic Merino Fingering in a neon orange colorway and a light gray. I'm calling it my safety shawl. I plan to be wearing it while I walk the dog in the winter, next winter, because I figure if people can't see me wearing a neon orange giant scarf, then they're not going to see me at all. So it will be fun. And also, neon orange is kind of my favorite color. I mean, you know, I will dally with other things. I do like a good dark red, but neon orange, I always come back to neon orange. So yeah, it's a fun knit. I've got, I think I'm in the third stripe now, and I plan to take it traveling with me and maybe even finish it while traveling. I don't know. We'll see. That is all I'm working on right now. So in my future, I'm going to be sewing. My serger knife arrived today, which was super exciting because I've been waiting and watching my tracking on eBay. I was able to find a knife. I have a Brother, what is it? It's an 1134D serger, which you can buy on Amazon.ca. I didn't find any other sources for the 1134D. There's a DW, which seems to be available at Costco and does not have the good reviews that the D does. but mine's great. I love it. It's a good serger. But don't sew over pins with it because the knife can't handle that. And it'll break into a million pieces and then you'll feel foolish. Or so I hear. Anyway, it's not easy to find parts for Brother machines. That's the only problem with both my sewing machine and my serger are Brother brand, and I love them both, and they've both been extremely reliable, but finding parts is a bitch. So I was able to source a part on eBay from a company called CB Sewing Supply or something. I'll link them in the show notes just in case you happen to be looking for something of that nature. Their price was extremely reasonable. I went into my local sewing place, like machine repair shop, and aside from not receiving particularly excellent service, they wanted $50, basically, after tax, for just the upper knife for the machine, and I wanted the upper and the lower. And so I was able to find it for $25 all told with shipping for an upper and a lower knife from this company in Georgia, the state, not the country. So I went ahead and did that, you know, and they were going to have to special order it and it was going to take just as long to get here anyway. Yeah, I wasn't super thrilled with $50 for a teeny tiny piece of metal. So I will link the place I got it from and maybe that will help you if you happen to have a Brother machine that you have broken parts on. But I'm excited to get to sewing, so I'm going to be sewing so many underpants. I'll tell you about them next time. It's going to be exciting. I'm so excited to have new underpants. I haven't had new underpants in a long time. Again, with the talking about my underpants, I promise I will not be sewing underwear again for a long time, so I won't be talking about my underpants again for a long time. But, you know, sorry. Other future things I wanted to talk about. There is a pattern that just came out recently called the Ferris Wheel Shawl by Zandi Peters, and it's a really, really neat two-color half-circle shawl. A little more than a half-circle. And you can find it on Ravelry. It is a paid-for pattern, and she's done it in a hot pink and black, which really illustrate the pattern well, although they're not colors that I would ever use together, just because me and hot pink aren't particularly close. But whatever, not important. This shawl is knit it with short rows and striping, and it basically looks like half of a Ferris wheel. It's got the stripes kind of radiate out from the center, but they're broken up and they kind of come off of triangles. So it's got a first circle with triangles off of it, and then stripes between the triangles, and then another line created by a circle around the points of those triangles, and more triangles and lines. And I'm not describing it very well. You should go see it. It's super cool. If you think you are the sort to wear a half circle shawl that isn't like a lacy fancy shawl, you should totally check this out, because it's really neat looking and it's really eye-catching. If I can figure out how to wear a half circle in a more casual way, I will absolutely be making this shawl. I don't know. I think it would also make a cute baby blanket. That half circle shape is perfect for just wrapping, like swaddling up a baby. You know, you put their head right at the center of the circle, and then you've got more fabric at the top and less at the bottom. I find that the little feet will kick free anyway, so you might as well not obstruct them with too much fabric. But yeah, it would be a cool baby blanket. It's just a cool thing. I really like it. I think it's a really neat pattern. I haven't seen anything like it, so that's cool. The other pattern I wanted to talk about that will definitely go in my queue one day, currently it rests in my favorites because I'm a little intimidated by it, is a sweater called Beau Bee by La Maison Rilili, and it is gorgeous. She is the designer behind the Blue Sand cardigan that a lot of people were making and was very popular. It's really, really pretty cardigan, and this has a similar silhouette to Blue Sand. It's a long-sleeved cardigan just open front, no buttons or anything, and doesn't look like it's really meant to close. It just kind of hangs, and it's long, about hip length, and just cozy and cocoony and beautiful. And it's got a textured stitch pattern around the shawl. Well, it's not really a shawl collar. It's a shawl collar without the folding over. It's got lots of extra fabric, but you don't actually fold it back. Scarf collar? I don't know. Anyway, it looks very cozy, and it's got this textured collar, but the thing I really like about it, it's knit in two different yarns, and one is just your standard sort of sweater yarn, and the other one is a very fine mohair silk blend, something like Kid Silk Haze or whatever would work. In that context. And at some points in the sweater, you hold it with the other yarn, so you create a texture of slightly fuzzy stripe, or a stripe of slightly fuzzy texture. That makes more sense, doesn't it? You do that. But the sleeves, as you get past the elbow, they start striping with the heavy sweater yarn and just this very fine lightweight mohair yarn. And so that creates stripes of transparency, and then as you get towards the end of the sleeve, it goes all into the mohair, and it stays at the same gauge and everything, which is neat. And so the sleeves are sort of see-through, and then you have an I-cord, it looks like anyway, an I-cord bind-off at the cuffs in the heavier yarn. And so it's just, like, it's different, but it's still super cozy and super wearable, and that's what I really like about it. That's what I like about Blue Sand as well, is they're both really wearable, normal-looking sweaters. There's nothing too weird about them, but they have these special little details that are just clever. And so, yeah, I'm going to make that at some point. I keep thinking about making Blue Sand, but maybe I'll make this instead. Yeah, okay. I don't have anything for the show-and-tell segment this time around. I have a cold, damn it. I feel sick. I don't want to. No, nothing particularly new has come across my desk, and so I don't have anything exciting to tell you about. If you have any questions you want answered from a relatively knowledgeable, or at least willing to research, knitter, spinner, weaver, fiber artist in general, there is a thread that is in the forum for the Knitting Pretty podcast group, and you should ask your question there. I will do my best to answer it as soon as I can. I did want to say, I talked about the Tour de Fleece and my goals for the Tour de Fleece 2 episodes ago, and I had originally planned to make a sweater from a white fleece that I have. And that meant carding it all. And I managed to make about 4 bats before I just realized that I like carding, I like processing fleece, but I am not at a place in my life right now where I feel like doing that. I'm just too busy and no, it's just not working for me. So I'm not going to do it. I did make about 4 bats, which is 200-ish grams, and so I'm going to combine that with my purchases from the 100 Mile Fleece and Fiber Festival. It's a lot of Fs. I bought at that place some pure black, some brownish gray, and some light brownish gray organic Romney wool. And so now I also have, and those are each 100 grams, and now I have 100, I'll set aside some of the bats, but I have 100 grams of this white, which is an East Frisian Texel Fin cross, but it's about a similar softness. It's a little bit shinier, but that's fine. But I think it'll work well with the other ones. And then I have a big bag of fleece that I bought the year before at the same fiber fair that is bats from, I think it's a Romney Suffolk cross. And I compared them all together and they are a dark charcoal gray with not very much brown in it at all. It's really gray. And so while it is similar in value to the medium gray with the brown, it's really not the same color at all. So I'm going to use that as the main color, and then I'll have 4 separate contrasting colors, and I'm going to spin them all up separately and make a sweater. And I hope to do something that's sort of a traditional colorwork sweater with colorwork at the circular yoke and at the cuffs and at the bottom. I don't know if I'll make a cardigan and steek it open or if I'll just make a pullover. I'll get there when I get there. Right now, I'm making my spinning goals and we'll worry about the rest later. But I think it'll make a really beautiful spinning project and a really gorgeous sweater that I will love. So that's what I'm doing. I think I'm going to aim to spin for about a sport weight. 3-ply, so obviously the individual plies will be thinner. I might push it to a worsted. I think it might just be more reasonable to spin for a worsted, but we'll see. We'll see where I go with that. And I think that's a more reasonable Tour de Fleece goal for me, not because it's any less actual spinning work, but because I have found that over the past month I've been, you know, I had my carder out, I've had the fleece out beside it, I've had access to it, it's been in my dining room being a mess, but I just couldn't make myself work on it. It was also meaning that when I came upstairs thinking about spinning, I felt obligated to go and card, and I didn't want to, so I didn't spin. I haven't touched my wheel all month because I don't want to card. So that is what I'm going to do, and I hope that will sort of remove my spinning mojo block that I've got going on right now. So on to my weekly obsessions. My first one is that I got a new phone, and that's exciting for me. I haven't had a cell phone for over a year, but I decided now that I can drive and am driving around a lot, I really should have a phone on me. I mean, I know that people got by without a cell phone while they were out and about in the past, but just for safety, it is good to have something, you know, a way to contact the emergency people if something happens. So I had been planning to just get a cheap, like, pay-as-you-go, I think 7-Eleven does a really cheap pay-as-you-go phone. But then our house phone, like the actual telephone connected to our landline, started crapping out, and half the time it doesn't work and you can't pick it up and it just sucks. So I was going to have to buy a new one of those, and then I thought, if I have to spend a bunch of money on that and then also, you know, keep paying for my landline, and I want to get a cell phone that is just one that I don't use except for emergencies, why don't I just drop the landline and get a cell phone? So I did, and I got an iPhone 5S, which is fancy pants. It cost a little more than a landline phone would have cost me, but It's okay, because I have been using an iPod as, like, an iPod Touch as my phone, I guess. I use it for texting, because iMessage is useful. But I'll sell that and a couple other things, make back the cost, and it'll be golden. So, I like it. It's really pretty. I got the gold phone, because, really, if there's the option of a gold phone, you take it, right? I mean, it's not gold, it's champagne. Whatever. I bought the gold phone. Yeah. Yay that. It's fun. Sorry, guys. Technical issue. My audio totally cut out there. So, with the wrong microphone and all that sounding totally awesome, I'll fill in the spot. My second obsession is a new cookbook by a local author. A friend of friends. I've never met her, but she's local and is a knitting buddy with some of my knitting buddies. Her name's Amy Brawny, and the book is called The Canning Kitchen. It's a cookbook for preserves of all sorts, pickles and chutneys and jams and fruit and all the stuff that you can. And I was very excited when this book came out. I'd been kind of keeping an eye on it, and I wasn't sure if I needed it, but then I looked through it at the bookstore, and I had to buy it. So I did. And the good thing about it is it's for small batch canning, and that is nice because, I mean, I have done some large batch canning, and I'm sure I will again this summer. We just ran out of the last jar of the peaches I canned last summer, and they were really good. Really, really good. And they lasted from, well, canned them in August, and they lasted all the way until, what, June? So that's not bad for $19 worth of peaches in a big, huge box. But anyway, I prefer to work in smaller batches. I don't need that much of other stuff. And so the recipes in the book are smaller, and that is awesome. But there are some amazing jams. There's a nectarine vanilla bean jam that is calling my name. And the first thing I made, though, was the recipe for pickled beets, because I love beets and I love pickles, and what is not to like about a combination of the two? And beets happen to be on sale at my local greengrocer. So, yeah, I went ahead and made them. I haven't had them yet because they have to spend some time being pickles before you eat them. But I'm sure they're delicious. They look beautiful. They're very neon red pink color. So anyway, it's a great book. It's well written, it's informative, it's got a good section on the kind of basics of canning, and then each recipe is easy to follow. I like it a lot. It's also pretty. Nice photographs. The next thing I'm planning on doing is some jam. I think I'll do some raspberry jam. There is a recipe in the book for a raspberry lemon jamalade. It's like a marmalade jam. You get it. Anyway, I don't know if I'll make that. I think I might just make a standard recipe for raspberry jam. But I'm excited about that. And who knows where the summer will take me with all of the delicious bounty of food that's available. Also, they had bunches of beets on for sale with the leaves and everything, and I thought, I need to cut back on food waste and save some money and all that good stuff. So why don't I use the beet greens as well? And so I planned the beet greens into my meal plan for the week, and also for, like, that was last week, and also for this week. And man, beet greens are the best. So good. And, like, you can tell by the way they taste that they're good for you. They taste like, kind of like spinach with a very mild beet flavor. They have that same slightly salty, leafy flavor that spinach has, but with a little bit of beetness as well. And so I made a delicious salad out of the beet greens with strawberries and, what else did I put in? Strawberries and shallots and fresh peas and almonds. And I put feta cheese in the ones for not me, because apparently cheese and I don't agree. But yeah, it was just a beautiful salad and very pretty looking too, with the bright red ribs of the beet greens and then the dark green leaves. And then I decided to make sautéed beet greens, just like you would with you could do with kale or collard greens or whatever. And I made them once and they were delicious. So I made them again last night. And last night I also, while we were on a Father's Day walk, picked up some garlic scapes, which are, if you haven't seen garlic scapes, they're the stems that lead to the flower of a garlic plant. And if you cut them before they flower, they are lovely. They're garlicky tasting. They're slightly woody towards the bottom, but the top bit is just delicious. They're sweeter than garlic and a little more mild, but still have a nice strong garlic flavor to them. So this time I used my garlic scapes, which I found there's a community garden along the sort of boulevard of one of the roads here that, you know, you sort of take what you want and plant what you want and do your thing. There's no real, nobody controls it. It's just a community effort, which works beautifully, actually. It's one of those things where you are pleasantly surprised at how well a community effort could work. And so they were free, and I count the beet greens as free as well, because they were attached to the actual beets, which I paid for. And yeah, so my free garlic scapes and my free beet greens, and then I put some shallots in as well, and just a little bit of butter, and sautéed them together, and oh my god, they were so good. And good for you, and my kid didn't love them, but she ate them. I think it was just when she took too big of a bite, it was a little bit much. But when she had smaller bites, she really enjoyed them. So, yeah. Beet greens. Who'da thunk? And also canning. Yay! My third obsession is camping. We are going camping on the 1st of July and coming back on the 7th. And we're going to be going down to Fort Stevens State Park in Oregon. It's right in the top northwestern corner of Oregon by Astoria. And I'm excited to be there. We're going camping with my husband's family. I think camping for a week with your in-laws might be a little long, but I'm still looking forward to it. I'm sure it'll be fun. It has been fun both times we've gone in the past, so there. I've been packing my travel knitting. I'm going to bring the match and move shawl, which is perfect for camping. If you're travel knitting and you happen to be going camping and you expect to be, you know, knitting by the campfire, that is, I strongly recommend neon things. It makes it very easy to see. I'm considering bringing my spinning wheel. It's not a good idea, but Tour de Fleece starts on the 4th, and I will be there till the 7th, and I'd kind of like to spin along for those first days, but I don't know. It's probably not a good idea, mainly because the campsite can be very muddy. Other than that, you know, we're driving down, it would be in the car, it would be safe, but it would get muddy down there, so we'll see. I'll decide later. I'm also going to... I wound the yarn today, and I'm going to swatch soon for the Oshima For Him sweater by Jared Flood, and bring that down to work on. I'll predominantly be working on the match and move, I'm sure, but having a sweater to work on is never a bad thing. This year, I need to remember to bring warm clothes, because warm clothes are key. Last year, I just overestimated how warm it would be. I forgot that even though it was summer and it was warm, we were camping in the middle of the forest and the trees block all the light and it's near the ocean, so there's always a cool breeze, and it was freezing. I froze my butt off last year. So I'm looking forward to not doing that this year. I will bring more warm pants and more warm socks and more warm sweaters. But one thing about camping is that I will be there when I am supposed to be recording next, and so I won't be recording until the Thursday after that, which will be July 9th. If I get to it before that, sometime after the 7th, well, realistically just the 8th, then I will, but really just plan for the 9th. That's when I'll be back, and I will have adventures to tell you about, some of them knitting related, but probably most of them living in the forest related. And yeah, I hope until then you have an awesome time, that you get lots of time knitting, that You have an awesome Canada Day if you are Canadian, and an awesome 4th of July if you are American. Enjoy some apple pie or something for me. I'll be camping, so I don't know what you can cook over a campfire. Can you make an apple pie in a campfire? We made baked apples last year, which was delicious. But pastry, you know, pastry is just kind of key. Anyway, have awesome holidays. Have an awesome time. I will see you again when I see you. Happy knitting.